The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport. Hello, and thanks very much for tuning into this week's episode of the Ball Bags podcast. Season 4, episode 2. Delighted to be joined. Absolutely over the moon to be joined by the Chief. How are we, my fine sir?
I'm great, mate. How are you?
Not too bad. It's kind of the last of the slog weeks, I think, in January. Payday for many people this weekend, I think. It was a monthly salary. Kind of getting over the doldrum weeks where you've kind of a half Premier League round, you've a week off now, and then you're into the Six Nations, and you know, when spring is coming.
Yeah, the light is finally starting to peep through the end of that tunnel.
I thought you were going to hit me with a grand stretch in the evening.
No.
Delighted we didn't. Although
pay week and everything, you know.
Yeah, although there is a bit of a stretch. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's grand yet, but there is a bit. Look, tried and tested formally, you know what's coming. It's Player of the Week from last week. It's our agree to disagree, and then it's just a must-watch CTV for the weekend. So, Chief, who is your Player of the Week and why?
So, this player comes from my must-watch game last week, which was Toulouse and Bath. And it was Antoine Dupont. The man is just, I honestly think he's possibly the best rugby player to have ever played the game now, or is certainly tracking in that direction. He is phenomenal. Watching the running lines he does, supporting ball carriers and where he can pop up, and just the things he can do with the ball. Like some of his passing is outrageous. Like his try, I think it was when it was still 19-all, and he must have threw like a 20-yard pass to Thomas Ramos, and it was like, and off his left side, like, so left to right pass. It's like just phenomenal player, you know. He just he makes everything that ticks well for Toulouse and France goes through him.
The only reason he plays scrum half is because of his size. Yeah. If he was any other size, he'd play any other position. He's just phenomenal. Yeah. Yeah, definitely in agreement. I did switch on. I got called after the end of the first half, and I couldn't believe the full time score.
Yeah, it was very tit for tat. Like, and back to their credit, you know, made it a contest. They've been going well this year, which is kind of surprising, given who their manager is and stuff like that. But
they've invested a lot in the roster, though. So that's obviously bearing fruit. My player of the week was Lamar Jackson. I just thought there was a fair few question marks over Lamar and kind of his production in the playoff versus regular season. You had that whole rest versus rust debate, and I just, similar to DuPont, he could play any position. Like, he's just an athlete, but he's fast becoming a fantastic quarterback, and I think, I know it's a regular season award, I think it's still dictated by the playoffs. So I think he is the MVP, and that kind of sealed it for him, just that one playoff. It shouldn't, but it does. That one kind of playoff, even if he gets bounced at the weekend. But, you know, I thought he was exceptional. But I'm more than happy to concede this week, because I do think DuPont was different custard. So
I'm happy to take the win. It was a very good performance from Lamar as well. I think since about week nine, he's been in that MVP chat. Probably earlier than that, actually.
I don't know if you followed the trend, but apparently he tweeted out, Johnny. Someone had put a question, some random page had put up a question. Johnny has five brothers. Sorry, Johnny's dad has five brothers, and they listed four names. What's the name of the fifth brother? And he just wrote back, Johnny. It's one of these trick questions. And apparently since he tweeted that out, he's 10-1. It's grabbed the internet by storm. It's one of these weird things that just takes
one of those, was it the butterfly effect, is it?
Yeah, that's what they're claiming now. Johnny. But anyway, look, agree to disagree. And again, Chief, it's yourself to deputize.
So we concluded the pool stages of the Champions Cup of the weekend, and both Leinster and Munster have been drawn against the same oppositions from those final pool games, albeit now in different venues, with Leinster in looking like the Aviva and Munster away in Franklin Gardens. Is it time that the powers that be of the Champions Cup scrap the seeded draw as it is and adopt an FA Cup style draw for future seasons?
The format needs a lot of work. You're technically looking at, and I'm not throwing shade at them by any chance, I'm obviously delighted for the Irish provinces as they go through and stuff like that, but if you're looking at a side in Munster who've won one game in the group stages and they're into the last 16, it does make a bit of a mockery of it. I don't know if we touched on it last week, but maybe we might have been off air, but I loved the old school layout of just the pools of four. I don't know why that needed to change. I thought this iteration of the bigger pools and four games came around because of COVID, and it was that 2021 season, emergence of Omicron. It was a bit easier to manage that because it was so big that if you lost a game because of a COVID postponement, didn't really impact your season. You still had plenty of chances to get back through. So I don't know why we're still pushing on with it. I think it does need to drastically change. FA Cup draw, I like as a concept, but I think you would struggle to get the teams involved to agree to. The reason being is there is those kind of weeks akin to, say, the last 2 weeks where you're on the back of local derbies over Christmas, which are quite intensive in the domestic competitions. And then you're just before a Six Nations window. You can almost kind of see a story where, particularly in this country, the IFU wants players rested leading to a Six Nations. And it could just, like, you could have a side missing out because they want, for example, a player of the importance to the national side, as Johnny Sexton was, being rested in the week, 2 weeks before the Six Nations. And I think that could be a bit of a recipe. That's I do like it as a concept.
I suppose not for the entire competition, just the knockout phases of it, that you scrap the seeds. That's what I meant. I do think the actual group stages do need tinkering with again, but more leading towards the old school, proper Heineken Cup, like of that 06 to 12 kind of, or later era, before it became the Champions Cup. I think
like team that dominates, the best side in the group stages should get home field advantage.
I suppose, because, like, for argument's sake, South African teams knew probably 2 weeks ago that, okay, we're guaranteed home last 16. If we win that, we're guaranteed home quarters, and so on. So I suppose if they make the group part of it a little bit more like on the line, like that, you know, every game is has a chance of knocking you out, then the importance of winning more than one game, like, okay, Munster have benefited from it this season, but Connacht and Ulster were similar, you know, last season. Like Connacht could have snuck through, but for a kind of late defeat, I think, away to Leicester in the, and then, or maybe I'm confusing that with the Champions Cup, but, you know, like the Ulster got through last year with one win. This year, they've gone into the Challenge Cup with one win. You know, it's like, there's no reward for not getting the results. Do you know, or there's no risk. Mm. Yeah, there's no punishment for not getting results. And look, I'm delighted. Munster will hopefully have a few players back come the end of the Six Nations that will bolster the squad for going over to the Franklin Gardens. And I wouldn't be surprised if they got a win. You know, if they had one or two more pieces, they probably would have won at the weekend and could have had a home, potentially home, or an easier draw then. Look, it's certainly, I think the as I say, the powers that be need to have a think about what direction they're going in.
Yeah, look, it's farcical. It's farcical that you're playing a side you've already played. Like that's why I think I'm more in favour of groups of four. I just think it's very unlikely.
Then you can't get drawn against your pool of opponents. I think that was the South African
side, I think. Yeah. Like, we still used to have that, though, with the old variation, which was, I think it was six pools. Top sides went through from each pool, and then I think the best two runners up. So there would have been scope that the best side in the pools.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have happened. The 7th and 8th would have had to have gone against
the top, yeah.
Ones and twos, so... So it's...
Yeah, no, it's an interesting one. But it's... I suppose... If results go a certain way, you're going to have two pool opponents against each other again in Leinster versus La Rochelle. Now, everyone would be looking forward to a repeat of that, you know, and like the organisers would be probably licking their lips at the prospect of another Leinster-La Rochelle game. So it's probably going to work out, you know, that way.
See, they probably prefer it later in the competition all the same. That's the only thing. But look, it definitely needs tinkering with. I think you could do that FA Cup style draw and just have two pots. So it's going straight to quarterfinals. You've one pot with sides 1-4 and one side with sides 4-8, and you draw from 1-4. Like, you could still do it. I just think that top finishers should get rewarded with home advantage.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Moving on, going stateside and not NFL, which probably would have been predicted if you're listening to this. The Milwaukee Bucks moved off first year head coach Adrian Griffin in favor of ESPN analyst Doc Rivers. He's currently an ESPN analyst. He has a great history of coaching in the NBA, but given they made the move last summer for Damian Lillard, is it potentially too soon? The reason I asked is you're meshing two superstars in Giannis and Damian Lillard, who realistically speaking have never in their careers had a second superstar. Damian Lillard has always been the man in Portland without anyone else. Giannis the same. Look, you can argue Chris Middleton, whatever. Chris Middleton is a number two. Mm. He's not a one caliber superstar. So the first point of the question is it just simply just too soon before the All-Star break? Year one of head coach with a new kind of roster. Didn't need more time. And then I suppose currently they're second in the East, they're third overall. Do we feel like, considering he couldn't get the job done in the Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George, that Doc may not be the right man to deliver a coveted chip? He has one championship, and it was that electric Boston foursome of obviously Rajon Rondo, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen. He could only deliver one with them, and at the time they were dominant. It was LeBron that pretty much kind of
broke their hearts. Yeah,
stopped them.
I was just looking over like a couple of stats there. Like Adrian Griffin's record as a first year head coach, just running at about 70%. Like, as you say, second in the East, third overall. Like, he wasn't doing much wrong. In terms of results, he wasn't doing much wrong. So maybe it's just he's not getting the best out of Lillard and Giannis, and you know they're expecting more of him to, you know, get a different style of play. Like the Bucks won, was 2020, was it, or a bit earlier?
No, 2020.
Oh yeah,
2020 was the Lakers. Was the bubble.
2018 or 19? No, 18 was the Warriors, and 19 I think was the Bucks. So, like, they can win a championship. You know, like the Damian Lillard was definitely a win now acquisition. In terms of probably, you know, they're probably looking at that the coach shouldn't matter because of acquiring him, but I think they probably have pulled the trigger too soon. I think give him the chance, like let him get to close to the playoffs. Like Doc Rivers is the only coach to lead in the conferences 3-1 on three separate occasions and to lose 4-3. So his playoff records aren't great. Like you know, as you say, he only delivered that one chip with Boston. Couldn't do it with the Clippers and 76ers, you know, and 76ers. Like, there was big name players at 76ers that, again, it's like
we all got sick of trust in the process.
So yeah, I just think like he's got a pretty healthy record overall himself. Like he's 60% win rate. You know, it's
look, well respected in the league. I just kind of think, like, I suppose I always, when you bring superstars together, I always look back to the first real example in my lifetime, which would have been obviously maybe not my lifetime, but my viewership of the NBA, it would be the Heatles. And they put together Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and Chris Bosh, and they just thought they were going to walk through the league. And the first year they didn't. They came back the second year and they were, I would say, it was the best iteration we've ever seen in LeBron James. He was not going to be stopped for anyone. And I just kind of think that maybe they need a year to sink.
And maybe Adrian Griffin needed that year with them. It's like, you know, who's to say if they had seen it out through the year that, okay, they get to the Eastern Conference Finals this year and lost in the finals. Next year, you know, having the full year under the belt, the getting to know each other better and what works, what doesn't work, and then going and taking it all next year. You know, I really think, like, you know, they've possibly pulled the trigger too quick. for an ESPN analyst. I just
thought it is worth like pointing out that he's currently not. And look, I have a lot of time for Doc Rivers. I think most people do. There's a lot of positive sentiment for Doc within the league. I think, look, maybe they just got a little bit, like, to offer some kind of context. Best side so far in the league by a distance is Boston.
Yeah.
They do look to have taken it up a notch. For the basketball, like, long-term fan would be aware, like, it's still pre-All-Star break. Like, a lot of sides haven't dropped the gear, so to speak. So...
And this week has been
it is something I'd be a lot of people of anyway,
pushing for late goats. I think this week, like looking at some of the scoring, it's like high scoring games, but like some of the stats, it's like absolutely crazy. 70-point games, 77-point games.
It's a bit. It was all the one night as well, which was wild. It was out there, but look, the buzzer did go. So we'll round this out nicely for you. And we're just going to cover this week's must-see TV. So, Chief, what is your fixture?
This has nothing to do with your allegiance to Arsenal. I can promise you that. FA Cup back on this weekend, and I've gone for...
Seems like it. Competition we're not
there. I've gone for Spurs against City. Friday night, 8 o'clock on ITV. Again, I think I may have picked this fixture in the league earlier on. Just two teams that are going quite well. I know Spurs have a few injuries and stuff, but they can still, Angie Ball is still doing a job. And anything can happen.
Something a lot of people sleep on is that Spurs do typically give City a good game. I don't know how, but they always seem to give City a good game. So yeah, it's a good one to watch on a Friday evening as well. It's a nice way to ease you in to the weekend. And there's not a whole heap of sport on this weekend. Obviously, it's FA Cup time. You've no rugby because the Six Nations starts almost immediately. You're down to two games in the NFL. We're just lacking a bit of sport, but look, there's still plenty on. The National Football League, though, for the GA purists, is back this weekend, so it's something else to tune into. My kind of must-see TV, I kind of hemmed and hawed AFC, NFC, and I decided to go for the NFC Championship game. It's 11:30 Sunday, 27th of January. It'll be on Sky Sports. It'll be on The Zone if you subscribe. It'll be on some dodgy website as well, but not that I support that. But San Francisco hosts the Lions. The reason I picked it is, look, obviously San Francisco are overwhelming favourites. I thought they weren't amazing against Green Bay the weekend, and there's just something inherently, you might not agree, Chief, but there is something inherently likable about the Detroit
Dan Campbells. Hand on heart, say they're just, the Lions are more likable than both the Packers and the Vikings, as a Bears fan.
Fair.
I suppose the Bears probably, for most of the time that I've been watching, the Bears probably had the advantage over, even under bad seasons, they've had the advantage over the Lions. But I think with Dan Campbell being a former player and being the head coach now, it's a likable story. It's kind of, you know, one of those ones you can get behind. I've a soft spot for the 49ers as well. Just kind of a team that from watching from years ago as well and stuff like that. So, to be honest, I'm just hoping for a good game in this one. Do you know? It's Brock Purdy against Jared Goff.
Yeah.
It's two guys that are going well this year, and I think it's a good pick.
I look forward to it now. Look, that concludes the show. Nice, short, sharp, sweet, easy one, just to ease you
and
into
that's all
the
from
weekend.
Me.
But that's all from me. Thank you, and good night.